from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, February 8th, 2024. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started officially with...
The Daily Datagram.
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, one often learns more from 10 days of agony than from 10 years of contentment.
Oh.
I believe that, yeah. And with politicians, the agony lasts 2, 4, or 6 years.
Oh, no.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast. Let's do this.
Twisted history.
It's important.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
For sure.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
There you go. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1910, the Boy Scouts of America was incorporated by William D. Boyce. It's a cool organization. Teaches young boys how to use pocket knives, start fires, tie knots, save lives, and wear uniforms. And yes, these are all good things to teach kids. It prepares them for a future as a good citizen. On this day in 1960, the Hollywood Walk of Fame was founded. It is festooned with the names of people we love and people we love to hate.
Oh, I hate that guy.
It's almost as if nobody in Washington is listening to the American people. Ted Cruz blasted Mitch McConnell. This is back on Tuesday, saying that McConnell should step down from his leadership post. I couldn't agree more. McConnell really is the problem with the Republican Party because he sets the tone. And there are increasing numbers of Republican representatives who are now siding with Ted Cruz, at least when it comes to Mitch McConnell. Negotiators released the text of the legislation Sunday evening after weeks of talks between Republican Senator James Langford of Oklahoma, who's a rhino, Democrat Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, and Independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona. And Republicans in the House and Senate ripped the bill, with House Speaker Mike Johnson calling it dead on arrival, despite McConnell's support. You know, I wonder sometimes whose side McConnell is on. What motivates this guy? Why does he think the way he does? Or is he even thinking anymore? But Cruz said during a Tuesday press conference when he was responding to a question about whether McConnell should step aside, he said a Republican leader should actually lead this conference and should advance the priorities of Republicans. Some provisions of the bill drew criticism from Republicans who said the bill would still allow hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants into the United States and grant them work permits. Now, Matt Gaetz of Florida, he's always plenty vocal. And he posted Sunday, quote, the Senate amnesty bill literally would force President Trump to let in illegals well into his term. Any Republican who votes for this is no better than a Democrat. Great point. Once in a while, if you know who to look at, if you know who to listen to, you can actually hear some straight talking on Capitol Hill. Doesn't happen often. Happens more often than not, though, with Matt Gaetz. And then McConnell, of course, seemed to dismiss Cruz's call for him to step down. When asked about Cruz's comments, McConnell said, we can all agree that Senator Cruz is not a fan. Wow. That's really addressing the issue, isn't it? Now, naturally, McConnell's health has been an issue in recent months. Remember those brain freezes that he was having? He was hospitalized last March, 11 months ago, after he tripped and fell during an event at the Waldorf Astoria in Washington, D.C. He did suffer a concussion, broke a rib too, and then entered an inpatient rehab facility after he was released from the hospital. That was back on March 13th. He's 81 years old now. He was previously treated for a broken shoulder after a 2019 fall in his home in Kentucky. Also froze up, had that brain freeze, during the August press conference in Covington, Kentucky, when asked if he was running for re-election in 2026, and had a similar incident in July during a weekly press conference in the Capitol. The man is not doing well. He really should step aside. But then again, same thing should be said about our president. Once again, in another example of how we have met the enemy and he is us, Arjun Singh, writing in the Daily Caller, says that Senate Democrats Tuesday blocked the passage of a resolution that would deem the influx of illegal entries by foreign nationals over the southern border an invasion. Now, granted, it was just a resolution. Resolutions are generally non-binding. They're just making a statement. But the Democrats aren't even willing to deem what's happening on our border an invasion. Pretty disgusting. And since the Biden administration assumed office, we know that millions of foreign nationals have illegally entered our country, our sovereign nation, and been apprehended by the U.S. Border Patrol. Many, many more millions have not been apprehended, but got across just the same. They are what is known in the border trade as gotaways. Now, Republican Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas was the one seeking this unanimous consent to pass a resolution indicating that the influx is an invasion, but was denied that consent by Democratic Senator Alex Padilla of California for the majority. Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, Marshall said in remarks on the Senate floor, "The president has not done his constitutional duty. We've established that. Thus, we must invoke and concur with the governor of Texas that an actual invasion has occurred. The governor of Texas has not just a moral responsibility, but the constitutional right to invoke his power and authority to do everything in his capabilities to protect the good people of Texas." Talk to just about anybody in Texas right now, and, I won't say they're necessarily a rabid fan of Greg Abbott, but they certainly approve of the job he's doing. So Marshall's resolution would have expressed that the mass illegal entry of foreign nationals over the U.S. border with Mexico constitutes an invasion under Article 4, Subsection 4 of the U.S. Constitution, and that states may take individual action to repel it under Article 1, Subsection 10, a provision that allows for states to engage in war with the consent of Congress. So Marshall noted, I'm going to quote him here, he says, "To have an invasion, you have to have invaders. James Madison called pirates and barbarians invaders, and just like the barbarians of Madison's time, today, cartels and terrorists are those invaders." I can't argue with him on that point. Comparing Washington, D.C. to Texas, he analogized that an equivalent influx into the city would be akin to 10,000 ships coming up the Potomac River over the last 3 years, each with 1,000 people from over 180 nations. It's a good way to put it. Padilla, rising to object to Marshall's motion, accused the Republicans of rank partisanship. And that was the best Padilla could come up with? Seriously? Somebody should escort Padilla out of the building. So, quoting him, noting that Marshall and several Republicans oppose a bipartisan border security bill that was negotiated by senators that was released on Sunday, he said, "They believe that a narrative of chaos and fear will help Donald Trump in November. They're saying the quiet part out loud." Wow, sticks and stones. Again, allow me to stress that we don't need a bipartisan or partisan border bill to close down the border. All we have to do is get the president to close down the border, and he won't. And then Padilla added that giving immigration powers to governors would lead to cruelty and lawlessness, unconstitutional legislation, and racial profiling, citing Texas' use of river buoys to block migrants from crossing the Rio Grande. which to me sounds more like paranoia on Padilla's part. But Senator Tommy Tuberville from Alabama, good Republican, spoke in the resolution's defense, saying, "There's a saying that the Constitution is not a suicide pact. The federal government cannot, I repeat, cannot force Texas to let itself be invaded and destroyed." I don't even know why I'm bothering to bring this up, but I just wanted to bring you up to speed regarding the House failing to impeach DHS Secretary Mayorkas. Mike Johnson's efforts to go through with this impeachment failed. And this happened Tuesday afternoon. The resolution to impeach fell short, ended in a 215 to 215 tie. Isn't that something? Now, three Republicans joined the 212 Democrats who voted against impeachment. And they were Wisconsin's Mike Gallagher, California's Tom McClintock, and Colorado's Ken Buck. So that makes that no surprise. And there was a little drama because the initial vote tally was 216 to 214, but one GOP member changed his vote from no to yes, meaning the resolution can be brought forward for a vote again in a couple of days. But if the vote had passed, Mayorkas would have been the first cabinet secretary impeached in almost 150 years. I think the big news was what happened Tuesday in Nevada. 60% of the voters out there voted for no one, with only 33.2% voting for Nikki Haley. So in other words, none of the above beat Haley. The way the London Daily Mail reported it, they said Nikki Haley suffered an embarrassing defeat to rival Donald Trump in the Nevada Republican primary on Tuesday, even though he wasn't on the ballot. The former South Carolina governor lost by almost 27 points to none of these candidates, an option given to voters in the Silver State in the first of two primary contests this week. Haley didn't campaign in the state due to her campaign saying the election was rigged for the ex-president who's on the ballot for Thursday's caucus. But the loss in the race, where Trump didn't even compete, is a crushing blow for the former United Nations ambassador who is still struggling to find a path to the GOP nomination. I don't understand why she doesn't just give it up. But the race was called at 9:01 p.m. Pacific time, with 60.4% voting for no one and 33.2% selecting Haley, with about 50% of the vote reported. And naturally, Donald Trump responded on Truth Social, mocking Haley for losing. I wish he wouldn't do that. But then again, he does a lot of things that I wish he wouldn't do. But I still think he should be our president. Here's a story that's been sitting on my desk since Tuesday. Actress and former mixed martial artist Gina Serrano is teaming up with Elon Musk, of all people, to take on the company that canceled her. You remember that, right? Well, Michael Austin, writing in the Western Journal, says that Lucasfilm, the Disney subsidiary that's spearheading the Star Wars franchise, chose to fire Serrano from her then hit, and it was a hit. The show's viewership numbers have since dropped, by the way. The program, the show was The Mandalorian. Now, you ask any youngster, say like a Gen Zer about it, boy, they'll tell you all about the show. So anyhow, they chose to fire her in response to a frequently mischaracterized tweet that was published by her. And though the post had been described as Serrano's attempt to equate Holocaust Jews to American conservatives, which when I first read the tweet, I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good analogy. The post merely pointed out that political demonization can lead to greater evils. Now, if you read the tweet, then you're on the right page. Now, these posts and others related to forced pronoun use and controversial COVID policies are really what is believed to have led to her firing. In other words, how dare you think independently? How dare you speak out on your independent thoughts? you will not stray from the company line. So Tuesday, she announced she was officially filing a lawsuit against both Lucasfilm and Disney with the help of lawyers from Elon Musk's X, formerly Twitter, of course. So, tell you what, let me go ahead and read for you her tweet. I still call them tweets. It's okay, because I am an independent thinker. But here's what she tweeted back on Tuesday. Today is an important day for me. I'm filing a lawsuit against Lucasfilm and Disney. After my 20 years of building a career from scratch, and during the regime of former Disney CEO Bob Chapek, Lucasfilm made this statement on Twitter, terminating me from The Mandalorian. Quote, Gina Serrano is not currently employed by Lucasfilm, and there are no plans for her to be in the future. Nevertheless, her social media posts denigrating people based on their cultural and religious identities are abhorrent and unacceptable. And then she continued saying, nothing could be further from the truth. The truth is I was being hunted down from everything I posted to every post I liked because I was not in line with the acceptable narrative of the time. My words were consistently twisted to demonize and dehumanize me as an alt-right-wing extremist. It was a bullying smear campaign aimed at silencing, destroying, and making an example out of me. The thing is, I never even used aggressive language. I shared thought-provoking quotes, pictures, memes, and occasionally I used my own words, not with aggression, but with respect and the occasional comedy to keep the mood light in dark times. Look with your own eyes at what I posted and ask yourself, for example, where did I compare Republicans to the Jewish people in the Holocaust? I didn't. Ask yourself why they were calling me a racist. Was there any merit behind that or history of it whatsoever? No. Look at why I was called a transphobe. For making droid noises from Star Wars? Beep, bop, boop was obviously directed to the online bullies and didn't in any way denigrate transgender people. Were my questions about masks, lockdowns, and forced vaccines okay to ask and push the subject into the light? Should we have been allowed to publicly discuss those topics at that time without being harassed or censored? Absolutely. Hollywood says they support female representation and equal rights. Why then were my male co-stars permitted to speak out without harassment and re-education courses or termination, but I was not afforded the same right to exercise my freedom of speech? Artists don't sign away our rights as American citizens when we enter into employment. I have spoken to all my co-stars since I was fired, and there's nothing but care and kind words between us. I respect their right to free speech and don't have to think the same on every issue to be their friends and work with them, and know they feel the same towards me. A couple of months ago, Elon Musk tweeted that if you had been fired from using the platform X for exercising your right to free speech, he would like to offer these people legal representation. Quite the noble offer, but never in my wildest dreams would I have thought anyone would take on my case against Lucasfilm Disney. Still, I did respond back, quote, I think I qualify, and thousands of people agreed, but I did not expect anything. To my surprise, a few months ago, I received an email from a lawyer who had been hired by X to look into my story and many others. Turns out after sending them as much information as I could gather these past few months, my now lawyers and X believe wholeheartedly in my case and are moving forward. I would like to express my deepest gratitude and thank you to Elon Musk and X for giving me an opportunity to bring my case to light. As for me, I would love to pick up where I left off and continue my journey of creating and participating in storytelling, which is my utmost passion and everything I worked so hard for. It's been difficult to move forward with the lies and labels stuck on me, backed and encouraged by the most powerful entertainment company in the world. I'm grateful someone has come to my defense in such a powerful way and look forward to clearing my name. Thank you to all the people who have supported me and made your voices heard. I pray God blesses each and every one of you with love. Gina Serrano. Well, it's pretty clear. And it's going to be an interesting case to watch. It's also going to be a case, you can bet, that is going to be swept under the rug by the mainstream media. So I don't know. I'll keep my feelers out and see if there's any further reporting on this. But I'd love to watch this. Marjorie Taylor Greene, bless her heart, she spends the majority of her time literally on fire. Well, not literally, figuratively on fire. And I wouldn't want to see that literally, but figuratively on fire. And it's to our benefit, believe me. She represents the 14th District in Georgia, which is the upper northwest corner of the state. She launched a scathing critique against the mainstream media, particularly in the wake of President Trump's unsuccessful appeal against criminal prosecution over the events of January 6th. Believe me, this January 6th thing is not over. And after Trump wins the White House, it still won't be over. But she was standing firm in her convictions. She offered what she termed a little history lesson to the assembled press, questioning their narratives and challenging their integrity.
Let me give you guys a little history lesson, okay? When President Trump was inaugurated, Antifa and leftist rioters nearly burned down Washington, D.C. Did you call it an insurrection? No. BLM raised millions of dollars on the Act Blue Democrat fundraising website and then proceeded to cause $2 billion in damages across American cities and communities all in 2020, every day. Not one day for 3 hours, every damn day. Did you call it an insurrection? They attacked police officers, federal courthouses, tore down statues, burned 93 police vehicles. Did you in the media call it an insurrection? No, you did not. You called it mostly peaceful. And you lied to the American people, and the American people don't trust you anymore because of that. And then the American people who pay for elections with their tax dollars actually own the elections and have the right to care about their elections, election integrity, and the results of their elections. When they came to Washington and protested, all of you called it an insurrection. And then when Joe Biden was inaugurated and this entire Capitol complex was surrounded with 30,000 National Guard troops, none of you stood there and called that an insurrection. Oh, no. You all stayed silent. And while Matthew Graves, the U.S. attorney at the Department of Justice, is arresting people every single day, throwing them in jail, held them for 22 hours in solitary confinement, unconvicted, all of you stay silent. No one attacks them for that. Apparently, you think it's deserved. Shame on you. And I want you to know the American people are paying attention. They're not stupid just because you tell them in your articles and in your headlines and on your networks that Trump is an insurrectionist or any of us are insurrectionists. No. As a matter of fact, you're hurting your own careers and you're hurting your industry for lying to them. So I would like to thank you, Matt, very much. And I would like to thank Elise Stefanik for introducing this resolution. And I cannot believe we even have to do this because Democrats and liars in the media accuse President Trump of being an insurrectionist when in fact he is not. He said, go in peace. Go in peace. God bless President Trump. God bless him for saying we should care about our elections. And I want you to know, because of that, Americans do care about our elections.
Now, I think part of what triggered this whole thing on MTG's part is a federal court Tuesday ruled that Trump is not immune from prosecution for actions taken while serving in office, setting up a blockbuster showdown between Trump and Biden's Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith, who, even though he has suffered some real serious failures, he's still leading the two federal criminal cases against Trump. So in this decision, it was a 57-page opinion, the three-judge D.C. appeals panel ruled that any immunity Trump may have enjoyed while president no longer applies to him as a private citizen. The decision read, quote, for the purpose of this criminal trial, former President Trump has become Citizen Trump, with all of the defenses of any other criminal defendant. But any executive immunity that may have protected him while he served as president no longer protects him against this prosecution. And, boy, MTG Marjorie Taylor Greene, gotta love this gal. She continued to lash out at the Department of Justice and at the media's silence on the treatment of those arrested. And mentioned Matthew Graves, U.S. attorney at the Department of Justice, arresting people every single day. You probably heard that. But she turned around and she wanted to thank Matt. I don't know if you recall in that audio clip, she wanted to thank Matt. And she was referring to Matt Gaetz, because Matt Gaetz has also been very, very vocal on this. And this is, I don't know, this is one of those areas where we clearly have a two-tiered justice system. I mean, it's not just clearly, it's blatantly a two-tiered justice system. And they continue to practice this every single day. It has been this way ever since Biden took the White House. Justice is not evenly meted out. It's very prejudicial. If you're a conservative, you are evil. You are conservative, you are a criminal. If you're conservative, you are an insurrectionist. But if you're a radical leftist and you're tearing down statues and you're burning buildings, burning police departments, blocking off streets, well, that is just mostly peaceful demonstration. How much longer this country can stand with this type of a system? And believe me, that's exactly what it is. It is a system. How much longer this country can stand under this kind of a system? Really, well, it needs to be taken into consideration. Now, you and I, as private citizens, we take that into consideration just about every day, every time we pick up the news to find out what's going on in this world. But it needs, at some point, to be taken under consideration by those on Capitol Hill. To the Comedy Corner with the very funny Mike Goodwin.
Good-looking crowd. First time in Utah. It's very white. White people, let me share something with y'all. Y'all may not know. White people, y'all like to whisper the race of the person that you're talking about. Saw this happen to me one time. It was like, hey, you know, Mike Goodwin's gonna be there. The black guy. He's like, why are you whispering? That is not a secret. People give me a hard time because of my appearance. This is how I typically dress. People are like, Mike, why are you always so dressed up? I'm like, I'm not dressed up. This is just police repellent. I'm just saying I never fit the description, you know. Officer pulled me over. He was like, is that a cardigan you got on? I want you to slow down, sir. I'm excited to be in the West. I'm from South Carolina. I'm from a town, Camden, South Carolina. From the South. I tell people wherever I go, I'm from the South with an F and not a TH. From the South. One thing about Southerners, we have the unique ability to just make up words. You know, it's in our DNA. We say words like fin to and fixin'. What it happened was, that's one word right there. That's one tight word. Matter of fact, my favorite word is a made up word. It's five syllables. One word. What you not gonna do? Yeah, my mother said that a lot when I was growing up. My mother said stuff like, what you not gonna do is keep running in and out of this house. That's what you're not gonna do. What you're not gonna do is stand in front of that refrigerator and hold that door open. Little boy. That's what you're not gonna do. Y'all can use it at your job. You know, you go to work, you got that coworker that always asking you questions before you get settled. You're like, what you're not gonna do is come in here and ask me questions before I turn on my computer. That's what you're not gonna do. That's what you're not gonna do. We're unique in the South. We love nicknames in the South. I realize there's some people I've been knowing my entire life. I don't know their real names. My brother called me the other day. He said, "Hey, man, you know Mark Davis's mom passed away." He's like, "I don't know Mark Davis, man." He's like, "Stanky, man. Stanky mama passed." I was like, "Why you ain't say that from the start?"
Get on out there and make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today. Just thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.